We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26, and thinking about this Sermon on the Mount that Jesus delivered, that we have recorded for us in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And so we've talked about the Beatitudes, we've talked about being salt and light, we talked about Jesus fulfilling the law in verses 17 through 20. And now Jesus is getting into the heart of the matter. And that's what we've entitled this lesson, and we're going to have several lessons that begin with this, because in verses 21 through 26, we see the heart of the matter regarding anger and murder. In verses 27 through 30, we see the heart, and verse 32, we see the heart of the matter regarding adultery and lust. In verses 33 through 27, we see the heart of the matter regarding taking the Lord's name in vain. In verses 38 through 42, we see the heart of the matter in regard to revenge and how we're supposed to handle that within our lives. And then in verses 43 through 48, we see the heart of the matter in regard to loving our enemies. And so all of these lessons, Jesus is refocusing from the sort of letter of the law, if you will, to the heart and thinking about where the heart is. What are the motives that come before some of these sins that the Ten Commandments forbid? Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. All of these commandments, Jesus is reflecting on those and thinking deeper about them, going to the heart, not just to the letter of the law. And so this morning we're going to be looking at verses 21 through 26. And we're going to note three things. First of all, to get to the heart of the matter, we must listen to Jesus' teaching about the differences between the letter and between the heart. And that's what he is seeking to do here. Second, to get to the heart of the matter, we must listen to Jesus' teaching about the dangers. There's dangers that are associated with these things. And then third, to get to the heart of the matter, we need to listen to Jesus' directives. Jesus' directives. And so those are the three things that we're going to be thinking about as we think about Jesus' teaching specifically regarding the commandment, you shall not commit murder, or thou shalt not murder, is what he has under consideration here. Let's read verses 21 through 26 together. Open your Bibles there and let's read together. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. All right, well, let's talk about this passage of Scripture and what Jesus is talking about here. First of all, he is talking about murder. And I think he makes that very clear here in verse 21. You've heard that it said, you shall not murder. And everybody agrees with that, I hope. If you don't, we need to have a little discussion, right? But thou shalt not murder. God put that into the Ten Commandments. That's one of the big ones, right? And certainly it's something that we want to avoid. But there's more to it than just the letter of the law. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He wants us to look deeper. You know, the rabbis interpreted the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder, very rigidly. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13 is where this commandment is found. And the punishment for the commandment was to face the judgment of the courts. And so that's why Jesus says here, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. The judgment. And what is the judgment that Jesus is talking about? It's not, you might think, that it's eternal judgment, but that's not what he's talking about right now. He will get to that eventually, but not right now. He's talking about the court system that the rabbis had set up in his day and time. If a person was found guilty under the law of Moses, by the court system, they were then put to death. Exodus 21 and verse 12 says, he who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. But, and that's what the rabbis said. They interpreted the letter of the law, and they went to the court system. If the court system found them guilty, then they were to execute that sentence that the law of Moses prescribed. Now, in the day, in Jesus' day, the Jews were not allowed to practice the death penalty. And you may remember that when they brought Jesus before Pilate to try him, that the Jews told Pilate, we are not allowed to put anyone to death. And so they had to hand over the death sentence to the Romans. But as far as the law of Moses was concerned, the Jews were responsible for executing that sentence. And so that's what the rabbis taught. Seems fairly plain and simple and understandable, right? But yet Jesus said, no, let's go deeper than just that. He's not only looking at the sixth commandment here, he's looking at its motives. Remember, Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And to fulfill it in every aspect. Not only in the letter of the law, but also in the heart of the matter, and in his heart, and in his motives, Jesus sought to do exactly what the commandments prescribed. And so to fulfill the law, one must not only just avoid the physical act of murder, but the spiritual attitudes that go with it as well. And what precipitates murder? That is, what comes before murder? What is the cause of murder in a lot of cases? It is anger. It is letting that anger get out of control and then cursing other people and the words that come along with that anger. You see, that is the heart of the matter. It's about our attitude, not just the letter of the law. What were the Pharisees, the lawyers, and the scribes, and the Sadducees doing about that? What were they doing about the heart? Nothing. You see, they didn't care about the heart. They just cared about the letter of the law. And so Jesus called them to task regarding that matter. And Jesus taught, yes, the law says thou shalt not commit murder, and whoever commits murder will be in danger of the judgment. You see, the law was just about punishing the guilty. It wasn't about helping those who had anger issues to reform. But you see, that's what Jesus wanted to do. He wanted to get down into a person's heart, into a person's mind, and to help them think differently so that murder wouldn't be a problem for them. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 28, it talks about those who incurred the penalty of the law under Moses. Anyone who had rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Well, Jesus was seeking to reform the person, not just punish him. And that's what he wanted to accomplish. And so there's a difference between what the rabbis taught and what Jesus taught. The rabbis just taught the letter of the law, but Jesus was teaching and addressing the matter of the heart. But then secondly, to get to the heart of the matter, Jesus taught some things about the dangers associated with these things. And there was the danger associated with the sixth commandment, of violating the sixth commandment. And that danger, of course, was physical death, as we noted earlier. And that's what's meant by the danger of the judgment here, that if someone murdered another person, then they would be in danger of being put to death. Numbers chapter 35 and verse 30 says this, "Whoever kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death on the testimony of witnesses. But one witness is not sufficient testimony against a person for the death penalty." And so there were to be witnesses, two or three witnesses at least. And this was intended, this law that was given was intended to prevent murder. And as we mentioned, in Jesus' day, this would have been enforced by the Romans. John chapter 18, verse 31. The Jews said to Pilate, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." And by that, what they meant was not that the law of Moses didn't authorize it, but that the Romans told the Jews they were not permitted. And they were under the yoke of the Roman law at this particular time. But the Old Testament taught some things about the dangers that were associated with murder. And there were even things that the Old Testament taught about the dangers associated with anger, but never the consequential type things that Jesus is about to discuss. So, for example, in Psalm 37, verse 8, we read, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." Cease from anger. It only causes harm. You see, so the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and others should have known that the law taught against anger, but you see, they were not interested in getting to the heart of the matter. They weren't interested in working with people to reform them. They were only interested in the letter of the law and the punishment associated with that and enforcing those things, as if the law of Moses were merely a legal code designed to govern a nation. But you see, God wanted more than that. He wanted more than that. There was the danger of a corrupt heart. And the danger of a corrupt heart is spiritual death. And that's what Jesus was emphasizing. That's the danger that he wanted them to be aware of. Think about how anger is frequently associated with murder in the Bible. For example, Cain was angry with Abel in Genesis 4 and verse 6. Simeon and Levi killed in anger, according to Genesis 49 and verse 6. Joseph's brothers conspired against him due to anger and hatred, Genesis 37 and verse 18. Saul sought to kill David in anger, 1 Samuel 18 verse 8 and 20 verse 7. And Herod was so angry when the wise men came to him and said that they were there to give homage to the one who was born the king. Herod was so angry that what did he do? He ordered the death of all of those newborn children. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16. The danger of a corrupt heart, you see, is not just the danger of the law, but the danger of spiritual death. And that's what Jesus is getting at. He takes the issue so much further than physical death. The danger of the judgment referred to the lower courts within the Jewish way of doing things. The danger of the council that he mentions next referred to the higher courts. And they, when you went to the higher courts, that those things were considered to be more serious even. But what does Jesus say ultimately is the final danger? The danger of hell fire, which is eternal judgment and condemnation. This is the kind of progression that James talks about in James chapter 1 and verses 14 and 15 when he says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires and enticed. Then when desire hath conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full born, brings forth death." And so there is great danger in not addressing the heart of the matter. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. That's the great danger. Anger leads to those verbal outbursts and abuses, such as calling people by improper curses and names. The word raca and fool were common curses that were used in Jesus' day and time. Men today use curses even to refer to other men. James tells us that such cursing is a sin because men were made in the likeness and image of God. James chapter 3 and verse 9. And so you have anger then, which then leads to cursing and hatred and ultimately to murder. Jesus is addressing the whole situation, not just the letter of the law. Spiritual death is infinitely worse than physical death. Spiritual corruption is therefore the bigger issue that needs to be addressed, not just by talking about the letter of the law, but by the heart and what goes on in the heart and how we are to talk about and understand the heart. Remember what Jesus said in Mark chapter 7 and verses 20 through 23. What comes out of man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile a man. Mark chapter 7 and verses 20 through 23. Well, Jesus came to save us from spiritual death. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so what must be dealt with? The heart must be addressed. And so Jesus gives us some directives here in verses 23 through 26. Look what he says here. Now, these are examples of what he's talking about. And we need to take these as examples. There are other ways that we could apply Jesus' directive. His directive is pay attention to the heart and make things right in the heart before it leads to something that you will regret later on. And that's what he's saying here in verses 23 through 26. Here's some examples. One example: therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. In other words, what he's talking about, he's talking about the situation where you know that you have something, or your brother has something against you. Someone has a beef with you. Someone has a problem with you, and you are doing nothing about that. If you do nothing about that, it's going to escalate. That's what Jesus' point is here. It's going to escalate, and there's going to be anger and cursing and maybe even murder, and that's not what you want, you see. You've got to deal with the heart. In other words, you've got to go to your brother. You've got to see what the issue is, and you've got to work it out. And you've got to do that in order to be right with God, is what Jesus is saying here. And so there's one example when someone has something against us. And here's another example here in verses 25 and following. That is, agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means yet get out of there till you have paid the last penny. What's he talking about here about paying the last penny? It is in regard to the common situation of debtors' prison, where there is something that you owe to someone else, and you have not taken care of your obligation. But what is Jesus talking about here? Is he talking about just simply paying our debts? He's not just talking about that. That's certainly included, but it's more than just that. It's knowledge of situations where there is disagreement between me and someone else, where there's problems between me and someone else, where I owe someone something or when somebody else has done something against me, there's issues going on. Those must be addressed. How do we address them? We've got to go to those people and we've got to talk to them and we've got to work things out. That's what he's saying here. Go to your brother. Take care of that business, whatever it is, and then return to doing the things that you normally do. Go to your adversary, the one who's against you, who's seeking to put you in prison because you owe him. Work things out. Take care of your business that needs to be taken care of. Don't let it escalate to the point of anger and hatred and cursing. Don't let it get that far. Work it out before it gets to that point. Anger and hatred lead to very bad things. These are the root emotions that lead to murder. It is not enough to simply forbid murder. We must do it, but it's not enough. We also must address all the underlying factors as God's people. To be a citizen of God's kingdom, that's what we need to do. Do we do this? Do we talk to others about the problems that we're having? Do we work things out? We need to. How do we do that as Christians? John writes in 1 John 1 and verse 9 that one way we do this is by going to the Father and confessing our faults. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and verse 9. So we've got to take care of our relationship with God, first of all. And that means we're honest about what our thoughts are, what our motives are, what our feelings are. We're honest about that and we tell to God, God, I know I'm angry here and I shouldn't be. I'm angry without a cause and I need to let that go. And would you please help me do that? Or whatever it might be. Maybe it's revenge. Maybe it's some other emotional issue that is going on. Those things need to be addressed directly with God first. But then secondly, God has given us another avenue that we can take advantage of, and that is to confess our trespasses to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this could be a spouse. This could be the elder of the church, a deacon, a good friend who is a Christian. It could be the preacher. It could be the song leader. It could be anyone, really. But it says in James 5 and verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we want to have those prayers of our brethren. And when there is something that we need help with within our life, along these lines, we need to deal with the heart of the matter. We need to understand that it's not just about the letter of the law, but about the spirit. And that's the difference that Jesus is pointing out. It's not just the letter, but the heart. Secondly, the dangers that are involved in it. That is not just danger of getting in trouble in this life, but getting in trouble for all eternity. And then third, the directives of the heart of the matter, and that is that we need to deal with these issues while they are still small, instead of letting them escalate and blow out of proportion to what they really are. Talking is what we do. It's what we must do in order to do what Jesus wants us to do here, to get to the heart of the matter. And so what is Jesus teaching us here in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 21 through 26? Don't let things get out of control. Don't let that anger get to the point where it's going to start lashing out against others. Don't let your heart get so corrupted by evil things that it does evil things, but deal with it. Go talk to your brother. Go talk to your sister. Confess your faults to God. Confess your sins to one another. That's what we need to do in order to deal with the heart of the matter. Perhaps this morning there's someone who needs to get to the heart of the matter in their relationship with God, and they need to do it right now. Whatever your need is in that regard, I don't know what it is, but you may want to ask for the prayers of the church. and we're happy to pray for you. Or maybe you're ready to get things right with God because you know you have not been what you need to be. You haven't been a child of God, and you want to become one this morning through hearing His word and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You can get to the heart of the matter. Your sins will be forgiven, and then you can begin anew, begin again, and start going forward in the kingdom of God, working on that heart on a daily basis. God begins to work on you after you become a child of God to remove all of those unclean and filthy things that you had in your life before you became a Christian. And that takes some time. But God is working on that. And He wants us to work on it together. And so if you need to come forward this morning, for whatever reason it might need be, we're ready to help you. And you can do so right now while together we stand and sing this song of invitation.